Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
I look at people that just kind of hoard their wealth a little bit, and I think, well, you know, you got to share a little bit. It's the greatest high you'll ever have. Even higher than anything we smoked in the 60s, okay? Get you really high.
Hey everyone, welcome to How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. And today, it is my journalistic duty to take a shot of Patron as I introduce today's guest.
Great.
Cheers. Love it. John Paul DeGioia is the co-founder of the Paul Mitchell line of hair products and Patron.
Yep.
Which was formerly in my glass,
yep.
Among many other things. And he has a new memoir coming out. We're going to talk all about that. So welcome, John Paul.
You bet, sir. And by the way, you should try my new tequila called Bandero.
As soon as this conversation ends, I'm out the door. I've got journalism to do.
Thank you.
So as I mentioned, you've got this memoir coming out called Success Unshared is Failure. I love that title. There it is. Look at that. Look at that handsome guy. Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about that title? I love that title.
You bet. Glad to do that. I came up, a lot of people are aware of that, you know, with very, shall we say, limited means. My father deserted us before I was two, and my mom had a hard time bringing us up. So we really came up with virtually little to nothing other than a lot of love. But we didn't know we had nothing because we didn't have a TV set, so we didn't know how everybody else lived at that time. But we grew up with a lot of love, and but things were very, very, shall we say, tight, you know, for the whole family. But as I started getting into business, and I realized that, my God, if you have a chance to make it, so I went from homeless to doing very, very well. If you have a chance to make it in life, you're not going to be really successful unless you take it even more than you really, really need and share it with others. Now, what started all this off was when I was 6 years old, my friend, 6 years old. So we went to downtown LA and we thought it was great because they had major department stores down there, puppets that were playing and little trolley cars going around, little trains in a circle. We thought we were the greatest kids in the world. Very lucky to watch this all. Anyways, we were there and my mom gave a dime to my brother and I said, boys, I want you each to hold half of this and go up there and put in that red bucket with the guy ringing the bell. So we did. Then we went back to mom and said, Mom, that's two soda pops. In 1950, that was two soda pops, three candy bars. Why do we give that guy a dime? She said, boys, that's the Salvation Army. There are people that they take care of. They don't have a place to live or food to eat. And we could only afford a dime this year, but we wanted to do something. And remember, boys, as long as you live, there'll always be people more needy than you are, no matter where you're at or what you're doing. Try and do whatever you can. You volunteer for something, give some money if you can. In this case, at least we did a dime. And I never forgot that. So even in my biker days, okay? So to me, success unshared is failure. And there was a beautiful story I'd like to share with you. I'll make it really, really fast, okay? J. Yeah. Paul Getty in the 1950s was the richest man in the world. Oil and gas company from Oklahoma. This guy was so tight that when he found out people were making toll calls from his castle in England, where he lived most of the time, right? He put in a payphone. This is the richest man in the world, probably a multi-billionaire at the time, because it was crazy. Anyway, long story short, in one of the very rare interviews he ever had, the lady asked him, J. Paul Getty Jr., you are the richest man in the world, riches that nobody even knows. You're in the billions and no one has anything like that. What would you do over again if you had to? He looked her right in the eye and said, first of all, you're partially correct. I'm not only the richest man in the world, I'm the most powerful man in the world. I could change governments with the money I have. He says, but if I could give up anything in my life or change it, I would have changed one big thing. I would give up the majority of my fortune to have been happy. I've never been happy. I've been married 7 times, didn't love any of them. One of my kids, you know, cut off his ear and they sent it in with the mafia to try and get ransom off of me, you know. He says, so she said, why don't you change now? He says, I'm too old. I'll be dead within 5 years. I'm just too old to change. In other words, here was the wealthiest guy in the world that realized that he didn't have the love in his life and he wasn't happy. So when you look at things like that, I look at people that just kind of hoard their wealth a little bit, and I think, well, you know, you got to share a little bit. It's the greatest high you'll ever have. Mm. Even higher than anything we smoked in the 60s, okay? Gets you really high.
And that's pretty high. Oh, that's fantastic. Wow. I could see why you wrote a memoir. There's a lot there.
There was a reason for writing the book. It took 3 years to write this book, by the way. It's an autobiography, but it was told to me by many people, made all the sense in the world. JP, people today don't know how to start a business with little to no money and make it big successful. How do you go from nothing in your car to having the largest lawn hair care company on the planet that's privately owned? These are unusual things, but people have got to know how to do it. When I started Patron back in 1989, I knew nothing about the alcohol business, nothing. In fact, people wouldn't even take it at first. It was too expensive. $37.95 a bottle in 1989 and 1990. They said, guys, you'll never, a big company, very big distributor we had, said you'll never do more than 20,000 cases a year maximum. When I sold Patron about 8 years ago, we were doing 3.5 million cases of 12. So we proved them wrong.
Well, it's amazing. And a lot of questions to ask. But I want to start with, before all this success came your way, before you started hitting, what was that like? Were you despondent? Did you have this feeling like, I know this is going to work out? Like, how did you cope with that time when you were, as you said, living in your car?
Right. Well, it turned out through circumstances and our backer not coming in and leaving my last relationship on my own, I thought money would be down there. Okay. Well, the money never arrived. And I had left in my last relationship the house, enough money for her and my daughter to take care of themselves for a little while there, and started with nothing. It was difficult, very difficult. But I knew this. I knew that if I had enough people trying my product out, it was so darn good, they would reorder. So I have two things I like to tell people about being successful. Number one is be prepared for rejection. And I learned this when I sold encyclopedias door to door. They said, knock on 50 doors. If they're all closed in your face, rudely or politely, be as just as enthusiastic on door number 51 as you were on the first 50. Well, for me, it was over 100 doors, but I was just as enthusiastic. Commission only. There's no salary, no nothing. Commission only. Wow. But I believe what they said. The second thing is, make sure that you don't go in the selling business. Go in the reorder business, meaning that your product or your service is so good, people go on to reorder or tell other people about it. So I knew that with Paul Mitch, we had the greatest thing. I could suffer through whatever I had to, but one day it's going to really, really hit. People say, well, when were you successful? 2 years after we started, we finally paid our bills on time. We didn't pay them off. We just paid them on time. We had $2,000 each left over. Hey, this is great, man. We made it. But that's when we found out we were successful. It was tough along the way, but I was always a positive person. And, you know, people have to realize that in life, a lot of bad things maybe happen to you, a lot of unfortunate situations. Maybe people out there that aren't the best people in the world that you're pissed off at or that screwed you over or regrets you have on, I wish I did this differently. However, that's yesterday's newspaper. You can't keep thinking about it over and over again. You got to clear your mind of that. And that's very, very helpful.
So tell me about now educating people about premium tequila. What is premium tequila? I've never heard of this. How did you go about educating people and getting them to drink it?
Yeah, this happened back in 1988 and 1989. I was with a friend of mine there, and we had started a little business together in the architectural business, where he would go down to Mexico and buy pavers or furniture, come back to the United States, sell it to restaurants or to bars or to architects for their model homes. So Martin was there with me. His name was Martin, and he was going down to buy some stuff. I said, Martin, now, next time you're down there, we're drinking tequila now. And it was the $5 bottle, which was the average price of tequila back in 1989. And I said, you know, when you're down there, Martin, why don't you bring back a couple bottles of whatever the aristocrats drink? It's got to be smoother than whatever we're drinking here, I would think, and not have to mix it in a margarita or do the salt and the lime. He did. He brought back these two long bottles. You know, nothing special about the bottle, but it was smooth tequila, really smooth. He said, but JP, I have a guy I met down there named Francisco Alcaraz. He's the chef of tequilas. He can make it smoother. should we go into business? I said, Martin, go down there, bring some of it back, let me see. And he did. I said, God, this is really good. He said, yeah, but it's expensive to make, and we're going to have to sell it for $37.95 a bottle. I said, oh, my God, I hope people pay for it. But it was the very best of quality. That's the second thing of being successful. Make sure your product is so good, people want to reorder, use it again. So when we brought it back, I've got 1,000 cases. That's 12,000 bottles. We couldn't give it to anybody. No distributor wanted to take it because it was too expensive to take. We finally got a little distributor, and the first year he sold 1,000 cases. Well, we dropped him because we thought we'd be able to sell several thousand. And we took on a very big distributor, one of the biggest in the United States. And he was a manufacturer, so he would be one more level. This big manufacturer would represent us to the distributors and so forth. After about a year and a half, almost 2 years, he was only doing about 12,000 cases a year. And we approached him and said, you know, we really think we should be one day be able to do 50,000 cases a year. And he said, guys, I'm going to tell you the truth. You've got the best product out there. Nothing compares. You could drink this without having to hold your breath. You don't get the fire water. I mean, this is really premium stuff, but you'll never do more than 20,000 cases a year. We dropped them and went with somebody else, and we took over ourselves, our own self. Now, this product that the experts in the industry said, you'll never do over 20,000 a year, it's too expensive. When I sold Patron about 8 years ago, it did 3.5 million cases of 12 bottles. It was the biggest sale ever in the alcohol industry. So you got to tell people out there that, hey, believe in what you have. Believe in what you have. Even though a lot of people say it's too expensive, it's not going to happen. If you have the quality there, people all of a sudden will want to treat themselves. And that's what happened. We got it out fast enough. Got at Paul Mitchell, all salons together for a 3,000 salon seminar, served them all free Patron. They went back home asking for it. And my good old buddy, Clint Eastwood, did a movie. And after we were in business 2 years, and all he drank in the line of fire was Patron tequila. It was kind of a nice little gift that he gave. It was very, very nice. So we had a lot of friends.
That's fantastic. So you mentioned Paul Mitchell, which you still own, correct?
Yes, that'll never be sold.
Okay, so I wanted to ask about that. So why is that so near and dear to you, as opposed to, I mean, Patron was near and dear to you, but you did sell it. So what is it about Paul Mitchell that makes you want to hold on to it?
With Paul Mitchell, I was in the beauty industry working for other companies, okay? It's the first thing that I started, and it was tough. In your car, you know, without a place to live there, $700, you know, the whole story's in there. How do you have an office, an address, a bank account, get the money right away? How were we able to do that when someone is 45 days in pain? Very, very difficult. But I knew and I believed that one day it'll catch on and I'll suffer if I have to. I've been there before in my life where things were very, very lean. I'll just keep on doing it, okay? And it'll happen. And eventually it did happen and just took off like wildfire.
So it's just the baby that you watch grow up and it's just going to be with you for the rest of your life.
And I promised hairdressers that I'll always keep them in mind and have them part of our distribution, no matter what happens in life. So I promised them that. Well, if I sold the company, the first thing they would go is full-blown retail with it because they'd make twice as much money. But that I would have gone back on my word. So it happened in 2004. A student in the audience of a seminar we were doing raised her hand and said, JP, you haven't sold. Every competitor you have has sold. Matrix has sold. Reckon has sold. They have all sold, okay? But you haven't. But you're alive. What if you died? Then what's going to happen? You know, how are we still going to benefit by the Paul Mitchell products as hairdressers? And I said, I didn't think about that one. So I found a trust that was 360 years, an American trust that was real and worked. And I own more than 51% of the company. So I put it in there where no one could touch it for 360 years. So even if distribution changed, like let's say, for example, during COVID, okay, salons were closed. They couldn't deliver and people needed product. So we made a little deal with Amazon where they could sell our product, but we would get all the reports and money back. When we got the money, we took a percentage, a big percentage of it, and gave it back to the salons. Gave it to them in products or in vouchers or some to salons, you know, that were carrying Paul Mitchell on a national basis. And a little bit to our distributors too. In other words, I didn't have anything. And they believed us when I said, I'll always figure you guys will always be in the picture. And we did it. Nobody else said, but we were going to do it. So why should I cheat someone that brought me to the dance? They brought me to the dance and they trusted me. They trusted other people, but they let them down. I wasn't about to. Good ethics, sir. Good ethics. Makes me feel good.
That's great. I love that. I wonder if you could talk a little bit. You don't strike me as the jealous type, but you know, sometimes when we see other people having success, maybe in the industry that we're in and things aren't clicking for us right away, it's hard not to get angry or feel jealous. Have you ever had those kinds of feelings, and how do you deal with them, or how do you advise people to deal with them? Yeah,
the answer is a flat out no. That's never happened to me. But I look at things a bit differently because I had knocking on doors, so many failures on doors until they let me in. So when you deal with that, it's a little different area to deal with. So the way I just deal with it is this. What happens, happens. It's just part of life. And I firmly believe that it's lessons to be learned. An example, in the book, Success and Show This Failure, right? It talks about how I was fired from three different companies. And each one of the companies, I grew every one of the companies. But one of them fired me because I complained about them testing on animals and I wouldn't give up and I was upper management. The other one because I wasn't part of their group. And the other one because I made more than the owner of the company off commission only, in addition to a $3,000 base salary. But anyways, I'm going to make a long story short. So I start Paul Mitchell. And about 2 years into it, when we finally paid our bills on time, an epiphany came to me. If it wasn't for all three companies that I worked for, I could have never started Paul Mitchell with $10 million, let alone $500,000, which is what I was trying to raise, right? I couldn't. Mm. One top made the industry, the other distribution and beauty shows. The other one were to buy the bottles, were to buy all these other things. In other words, it was meant to be. I left myself to the universe. The universe makes things right for you. So anytime somebody has a failure or someone's doing better than you, just know this. It's a lesson for you to learn. That's why we're on this planet Earth in these bodies, to learn lessons and to excel and go up. Some people never do. Those that look at it like, hey, these are lessons to be learned, that I'll learn from them and I'll be better because of it. And that's how everything happened. But didn't really click with money till I was 35 years old. Then I started making a little bit more money.
Now, I know you're obviously big into philanthropy and giving back to the community and helping people. That's true. But tell us one fun thing, like when you started not just being able to pay the bills on time, but making some of the real dough.
Right.
What did you buy for yourself? What was something you treated?
Oh,
yourself
great with? Question. When we were 5 years old, 5 years old as a company, right? I bought my first new car. I never bought a new car my whole life. I was actually buying my first new car. That was monumental. Like, yay, I got a new car.
What was it?
It was a, at that time, the first time they came out with a 500 Mercedes, it cost about $65,000 at that time. I know that was a lot of money at that time, but that's why the company was 5 years old, was making pretty good money. I could pay for it.
So we also have a newsletter, the How Success Happens newsletter. And anyone who subscribes to it gets asked a question of the week. And so I wanted to ask it to you. How do you respond when the wheels fall off? How do you keep yourself together when everything seems to be going sideways?
Oh, that's happened a few times in my life, and it's very easy. If that happened, it happened. There's nothing I could do about it. That's yesterday's newspaper. The way I respond is, how can I make it right now and not take that obstacle in the way? Here's what my goal is. That's an obstacle that's making things fall apart. But I'm going to keep my eye on that goal at the very end and not the obstacle and go around it like water would go around a rock.
I love
the
that.
The difference. Water. We'll live in the past. You see, whatever the situation is, and how do we go forward?
And do you want to talk a little bit more about your foundation? Cause it's pretty amazing what it's been around for a long time. I think you're wearing a shirt that, has the icons on there.
That's right, sir. We started it in 2010, and the goal was that making enough money now that I could go ahead and afford to put, you know, a lot of money into helping the planet out. So everything from the environment to the oceans with Paul Watson, Sea Shepherd, now the Paul Watson Foundation, saving the ocean, the whales, the dolphins, the turtles, all that. It just hit my heart that I could do something about it. So a lot of land things, planting, I think our company planted over 1 million trees over so many years. And then other things that we do for people. It's like success unshared is failure. And we give away now many millions of dollars every year. I don't consider it going to charity. I consider it paying a little bit for me being on this planet Earth and being so lucky to be as prosperous as I am today. You know, there's many reasons how to become prosperous, and you can read about that in the book. But the whole thing was that if you have enough, success unshared is failure. So I immediately went for the homeless, children, abused people, a long ways to show people how to take care of themselves, like in Grow Appalachia, how to plant your own gardens, how to feed yourself. Now they're doing, I think, something like 42,000 tons of food out of that whole area there that we started. Wow. And in Texas here, where I've lived for the last 26 years, same thing. We put together programs for the homeless, homes for the homeless to live in, and jobs for them to work in. And I built for them centers, entrepreneur centers, to teach them different traits. These are homeless people and how to get a job. And it's worked out exceptionally well. So it's just a combination of things I do. And I didn't forget California, where I started and where I was homeless. Chrysalis in California is a group for homeless people, and they've got a couple locations. I also support them financially, and every year or two, I'll go down and talk to the homeless guys and tell them, hey, I was there in your shoes. I know what it's like. Mm. Chrysalis gives you a chance to make it better. And of course, a whole lot here in Austin. You know, it's so much to take the whole show to just to talk about some of the things we do in Austin, Texas.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. Incredible work you've done. Well, I think we've gotten to the speed round, John Paul, if you're ready.
Last thing here. Somebody wants to get success, success and shared as failure. You can get it now on Amazon, pre-order it. It's going to be delivered at the end of May or June. Somewhere in that time it's delivered. But the first copies, the first run is only 10,000 books. That'll be gone the day it comes on the market. So we suggest that people pre-order off Amazon, success and shared as failure. They pre-order that because then they'll get the first edition, which is very valuable over the second or third or fourth edition. So that's what we're suggesting in it. I can guarantee you that there's no one that'll read this, and read it to your children, by the way, so they can see that America still works. Let your kids read this. America still works, and you could do it with nothing and become something.
All right. Well, you heard the man. Put in your order now. All right. So speed round. What is a habit that you are happy that you have and one that you wish you could get rid of?
What I'm very happy to have is I've learned in my life over a period of time that don't judge people for what they say or what they do, because some of them just don't know any better. It's just a being, another being who's lower on the frequency. And beyond any question of a doubt, stay away from people that gossip, because they're not really themselves. They're now putting attention on someone's bad luck or someone's unfortunate, which is what they're training themselves on. Don't do it. And that what I would regret, take away from anything I've done or changed right now, absolutely nothing. And here's why. It made me who I am today. If I didn't go through these challenges and these learning experiences, I wouldn't be the guy I am today. And I'm a very happy human being. And those around me, I think, are the same way.
That's great. So you wrote the book. Who's going to play you in the movie?
Well, we'll see here. They did make a documentary on me about 8 years ago with some fellow played in. It was the brother of somebody else, but I think a movie will probably come out in the very near future. And I don't know, I mean, it'd be great to have, you know, some wonderful actor doing it, but there's a lot of wonderful actors out there. I don't know.
No picks, no front runners, no one you would love to see?
Oh, well, there's a lot of them. I mean, one of my best friends is Pierce Brosnan. I love Pierce in there, but a little closer to my age than it was in the younger days when I started building things. But I don't know if Brad Pitt's available, but
yeah,
know, he's more handsome than me, so he may not be the right guy. I'd have to get someone a little more character, and they're not just a really beautiful looking guy, you know. Character.
I love it. Or some amalgam of the two. I think you nailed it. And then finally, margarita, salt or no salt?
No salt.
Not even a nanosecond of thought.
No salt and no margarita mix.
Yeah.
Fresh lemons or fresh limes. There you go.
Beautiful. Awesome.
It's delicious.
Excellent. Well, this has been so great talking to you. I can't wait to read this book.
Thank you, sir.
I can't wait to try your new tequila. Sounds like it's pretty good. So thanks so much. And well, you heard the man. Order that book.